Cause you're a freak for the rhythm, slave to the dance. And now I got you in the palm of my hand. Get all dramatic, erratic. Your moves are automatic. You're a freak for the rhythm, slave to the dance.
That's right, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is yours truly. That's right, the big guy with the little show. It is live and loud with the Lord. Nelson, that is. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very special guest, a super amazing front man doing work. Kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? You just say Arnold, man. You don't even really have to say his name, man. He's just beyond. He's one of the greatest front men I've ever seen, man, I ever witnessed. There's no doubt about it. And so that's enough of me just bigging him up. We're going to big him up on this podcast, on this show. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we have today Mr. Benji Webb.
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
Benji Webb in the house. Yep.
Hey, thank you for being here, bro. Going to have a good time, a good conversation. And I'm going to start it off. I ask every guest two questions, first two questions, just so everybody can get comfortable. First question is, where are you from, young man?
I am from Newport Gwent, South Wales in the United Kingdom. My heritage is from a small island, my father's side, called St. Kitts in the West Indies, which is more closer to Puerto Rico than it is to Jamaica.
Yeah, St. Kitts, I didn't know that. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. They call my father's people Cotitians.
Cotitians. Yeah.
And some cheeky people call them small islanders.
I got you. So what's the best thing about being from there?
I've never been there myself. I went to the West Indies a few times. And I'll be honest, mate, I'm not a big fan. Really? Yeah, I've never been. I mean, I like the culture, I like the energy and all that, but the actual heat, yeah. Not for me, man. Give me the fucking cold any day of the week, you know. Yeah, but I got family over there, you know, that we keep in touch and stuff. But my dad, you know, my father, when he came over here, you know, and put down the roots in the UK, mm-hmm. you know, my brother's been back and forth quite a lot and he enjoys it, but it's just not for me, you know what I mean, Nelson? Not for me, brother.
Yeah, so really, I guess I was asking about the UK. How is it in the UK? Yeah.
I grew up in a housing project, they call them, like a council estate, mm-hmm. in the UK, in South Wales. You know, we had to fight for our right to party. You know what it is. Yes, you know, but everything I ever sing about, everything I ever touch, mm-hmm. has been definitely brought from where I'm from, which is that you know, that poor area and that rough upbringing, you know?
Real talk. Well, okay. Well, let's get into it now. So we want to talk about Dub War. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, baby.
The new album, Westgate Under Fire. Yeah. So you have been blessed with a lot of talented musicians on this album. So how hard was it to make this this album happen during the pandemic?
Well, that's what brought the magic on. You know, as much as this evil thing took away from us, it gave us time. You know, my first album I wrote with Dub War, I had 20 years to write it, you know?
Right.
The second album I wrote with Dub War, I had 6 months. You know what I mean? So this pandemic has surely and really truly given me a time to sit back and adjust myself and reset my own life button. Mm-hmm. So in that chance, I had a lot of time at home to write some lyric, to write music. So I reached out to Richie, the bass player, and Jeff, the guitarist, and we spoke about making new music. And we were all excited at the prospect because I finished writing the new Skindred album, but then I'm sat there doing nothing. So it's like, you know, let's do something. So Richie sent me some stuff and we started working on tracks. I don't know if you've heard any of the album, but we decided to use a guy called Mikey Gregg, who is a good friend of the band, on drums. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about all the cool people who are sat in their fucking houses, you know, all them great drummers I know around the world. So I reached out to Mike Borden from Faith No More. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Roy from Stone Sour. I reached out to a friend of mine called Dave from El Nino, a bunch of different drummers.
Right.
And they all seemed really excited to be, because the one thing about it wasn't just the fact that they were just, you know, a drummer at home. I wanted someone who wanted to, who loved Dub War and wanted to be part of it. And all them guys were big Dub War fans. Mm. So that really made a big difference to the record. You know what I mean?
Yes,
having
indeed.
Them. And like, I played them the one song that the other one done. So they had to up their game every time, you know? So it was really good. It was a blessing to have them guys around. You know, we got it done, and you know, we signed the album over. When it was finished, we signed it to E-Rig Records.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny enough, because Dub War 25 years ago
right.
was on E-Rig Records.
gotcha. Yeah, because so, I was good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we got the record signed to the label that originally released Dub War. So I thought that was really cool. It was like a nice full circle kind of thing, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, brother?
Yeah. So six different drummers, man. So did you get the vibe, the sonics, the sounds that you really wanted, you know, to have all of them? And you know, each drummer is going to have a different vibe. So did you really get what you really wanted for the album?
Yeah, bro. I mean, like yeah. some of the shut up! some of the things that the drummers did, you know, I mean, I'm a massive Faith No More fan. So when Mike Bolton sat behind the kit, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a massive Stone Sour fan. Roy's yeah. on, you know, so, you know, and it was just magical because every time one of them sent a drum track back,
mm-hmm.
it just stepped up because I was making sure I was playing all the others
right. to
them as well. So they knew where the competition was.
I got
so it definitely having them different drummers on the record definitely brought a whole new flavor to Dub War. And if you've listened to the record,
I have,
you know, there's plenty of different flavors on there.
Yes,
obviously,
sir.
You know, we do the punk rock thing and you know, the rock thing and the reggae thing, but
mm-hmm.
every one of them tracks on the album, they pop. They really pop.
No doubt. Listen, no doubt. And I truly enjoyed it. I'll get into it a little bit later, but yeah, man, truly I enjoyed it. It was one hell of a ride. No doubt.
Good. So that's what it's
yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's meant to be, you know?
Yeah, sure. So the first track is titled Black Man. With KKK on there, you know, I'm looking at everything. I'm paying attention. So you guys are definitely going in from the start. So well, what's the message you want the listener to get from this song right
I
here?
I want the message. You know, everyone says to me about this. Yeah, I wanted. I you know, I mean, when you spell Black Man with KKK, mm-hmm. someone's gonna look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wanted that. When I you got to remember this now. I'm home. It's pandemic time.
Yes.
And then they kill Mr. Floyd.
Yes.
And that was the icing on the cake for me, bro. I mean, right. especially the way that, you know, I mean, a lot mm-hmm. of them they do in the dark and we can't see, we just hear the name. But mm-hmm. this one was just blatant fucking murder.
Gotcha.
Murder.
Gotcha.
And I'm sat at home with a drink and Richie gave me a piece of music a week before,
mm-hmm.
you know, Dub War music. So I put it on because I'm here and my studio's this day and I'm in the garden just having a few drinks and just meditating on the whole of this George Floyd madness, you know, this whole right. racism madness and mm-hmm. the whole thing about it. And I put the track on and then as it came in, I didn't know what to say. And I just went, as a black man, as a black man, I just kept saying it as a black mm-hmm. man, the music was playing and it just really, it spoke to me. And I just wanted to say something as a black man, but you know, the most important thing, whether you're trans, whether you're black, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Muslim, the best part about the whole thing is when in that song, no matter what I'm saying, is mm-hmm. when I say the words, no one chooses the skin they're in.
That's right.
No one should the skin you're in
that's
make
right.
you win.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, black, white, it should not. It's
great.
A goddamn shame that people look at it like that. It
yeah.
shouldn't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we all got a little racism. We all got a little racism and a little sexism. I don't give a fuck who you are. I'm talking to you. We all got that shit. We all got that devil to deal with,
right.
you know, and it just really shook me up. And Black Man was a song that I'm glad people, because a lot of people were talking shit about the song. And I'm glad because I don't want everyone to go, oh, yes, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm,
I want
mm-hmm.
them to, you know, listen, I had to fight for that record to be on, for that song to be on the album with my
really?
Own bandmates.
Mm.
Yeah, I had to say, because I was watching them and going, are you sure? And mm-hmm. I could see the horns in their head and they wasn't happy. But you know what? It made them, even as white guys who've been hanging around with a black guy for 25 years, it
right.
made them question themselves.
Mm.
And then it came around to it that they came back and said, you know what? That record, that song, as much as it's deep, and and some people will be offended. It should be on the record. And I said the reason why it should be on the record is because some people will be offended.
Mm,
that's the best. True. That's the best choice to have a record. You know, I don't make records just to make everybody sing la 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 la. Right. I make records to make people think. But you know, to say I want to question myself, just like as a kid when I listen to music from some of the greats, and I'm not even gonna name the greats because there's too many of them, you know. But back from way back then, when you hear the lyric and it hits you hard,
right,
it changes you, it makes you think, you know, and listening to all that good spiritual music. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean gospel, I mean punk rock, I mean reggae. I mean, stuff with spirit, strength, and power, you know?
Yes,
and
that,
as a lyricist, if you found my lyrics on just on the bus, if you found my book of lyrics, I want that to touch you, not just the music. It ain't just about the music. You got to say something.
Right.
You really got to say something. And if you ain't saying something, then your nonsense must be clever.
Hey, listen, I feel you. I got chills of you just speaking about it, man, and you're speaking about it passionately. And, you know, it sparked me to ask a couple more questions about it, to be honest with you, because you said some things in this song that, you know, I said, I got to ask you these things, man. But but you said that so well, what you just said so well, man. And I just think that music should make you think. And I think that lyrics are super important on a song. And, you know, me being a lyricist just like you are, man, lyrics are important. And that's what I always say, that the music gets you, but the lyrics keep you. You know, that's my thing.
You, bro, like I said, you're right. The music does get you. Yeah. Listen, when I listened to Public Enemy for the first time, woo, I was like, what the fuck is this? Right. You know, when I listened to the Pistols for the first time, I was like, my God.
Yeah.
The truth has set you free. The Bible says so.
Yeah, yeah.
The truth has set you free, man.
So you speaking what you're speaking, do you think that people of color are going through this all over the world, worldwide? Do you think that, you know, I mean, we know what we see, but do... No, in England, is the same thing going on.
Bro, it's everywhere. France?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. And that's why the song needs to be out there and making people think about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best thing, like I said already, I'll say it again, was having my Caucasian brothers in Dubbo question whether the record should be on the album. And I'm going to ask them why. Right. You know, and we never fought heavy, but the conversation was deep. The conversation was deep, you know. Because in that record, it talks about the Windrush, which was the generation that came, my father's generation, was invited to the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years ago, they wanted to kick them all out, and they've been here for 50 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to raise that question. The Windrush people, you know, I mean, I'm as a black man, I've had police come to my door and threaten me and tell me they're going to knock my door down if this and that, if I don't talk to them right. I'm like, fuck you. The good thing about it, in England, I could say fuck you to the police.
Right.
Where you are?
Yeah.
You don't want to say that. You don't want to say that. But I give thanks for that, you know, for that peace that we got. The gun thing and all that. We ain't got no guns like, oh, you guys got guns.
Right.
Like that. So I love that.
So that transitioned into the next one. So do you said this on the Black Man song. Do you really feel that the world learns to be violent from the United States?
Needs, pardon you, have to say that question.
Okay, so do you really feel that the world learns to be violent from the United States? Because you said that in the song.
No, I think, I mean, in the song, when I said it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about people who are alive now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though there's some of them I'd like to slap in the face,
I'm talking
about we learn violence from you, but you who are before you.
Got you.
That's how it started. I mean, it's still going on now. I ain't going to deny that shit.
Right. And it's
still unfair and it's still justice ain't there. But when I was saying that, when I hear that sister say, we learn violence from you. The violence we see, we learn from you.
Got you. So is this...
I was learning from... When George Floyd was beat down, there was a sister speaking. I can't remember where she was. She was talking about burning the cities down. Mm-hmm. And that's what she mentioned. She mentioned, you know, the words when she said, we learn violence from America, she says.
Mm.
America.
Mm, that's deep, man.
They went in the Indians and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, it's just truthful. It ain't lies. It hurts.
Yeah.
But it's the truth.
Yeah. So the only thing I'm going to say, though, now, you saying that they came from over there and then they came here, though. You know what I'm saying? Bro.
They came from hell with horns, baby. All of them.
I got you.
And some of them had black skin.
I got you. Is this an album of empowerment or an album of awakening or both?
you know, bro, I just take every track as it comes. I just wanted to make an album with friends, and I wanted to have some statements in there and have some fun in there.
Right.
But I just feel like, you know, I didn't go, right, I'm going to make a political album. Listen, I make music as a social human being who lives in a social gathering of other human beings and listens to conversations. And I don't look at myself, like a lot of people talk about politics. I know nothing about politics.
Right, I'm with you.
If you ask me what a lobbyist, I don't even say the word lobbyist. A lobster. What do you call it? People, they lobster.
Lobbyist, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even say the word, bro. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You know, all I know is poly meaning many and ticks meaning bloodsuckers. Politics.
Ooh, I got you. Yeah,
that's me, bro.
Yeah, I'm not big.
I can't trust them.
Yeah, I'm not big.
Listen, I love Michael Jackson. Uh-huh. I love Michael Jackson. But is he babysitting for my kids? Hell no. And that's the truth. Some people, like I said, I don't know about politics. I just know about what is in my head.
I got you.
If so be it. When I speak it, if someone identifies, they identify. And if someone don't, they don't. You know, I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I respect that, man, most definitely. So you kind of touched on it. So why did it take so many years to create another Dub War album? I mean, because what, it's 26 years.
Yeah, the last album was released, I think it was 97.
Mm-hmm.
We always remained friends. All of the guys in the band remained friends. One of the members, he had a lot of difficulties going on in his life, so I don't think he could return under the same essence. Like his wife was sick and he had to deal with a lot of fucking bullshit in his life. I didn't want to draw him away from his blind wife to play fucking drums for Dub War again.
Gotcha.
You know, he needs to be home. He needs to be home. You know, as much as it hurts him and it hurts us, he needs to be home. Indeed. Yeah, so we never bothered with no music. Skindred took off and I was quite happy, you know. Yeah. But I think with Skindred, as much as I love doing what we do, there was still always a want to do what Dub War does.
Right.
You know, and I know Skindred, a lot of people go, it's the same band, man. It's the same in the motherfucking same band.
No, it's different.
I know these people. It's a different energy from these two different bands.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I think the way I look at it, people say to me, how do you see Skindred and Dub War? Now, a lot of people may get offended about this, but I look at Skindred as my wife and Dub War as my girlfriend. You know, and I can't spit in front of my wife, but I can spit in front of my girlfriend. That's the way I do it. You know, my wife's gonna give me some shit about doing some stupid shit, but when you're with your girl and just hanging with your girlfriend, it's a different world. You know? So that's the way I look at it, two different worlds.
No, and I feel you, man. Listen, we like kindred spirits on stuff like that, man. I'm telling you, man.
That's the vibe, my brother. That's the vibe, for real. But that's the way I look at it. You know, it's like I got a freedom. There's a freedom in Dub War that I don't have. I think with Skindred, it's a bigger machine.
Mm.
You know, it's a bigger machine, and there's a lot riding on it, a lot more than a punk band from my hometown, which is Dub War,
Right. So the mixture of genres has created a definite, unique experience. So it's one hell of a ride, as I said before. So what or who inspired the mixing of genres for Dub War since the beginning?
Oh, I'd say, you know, as a kid, as a black kid growing up, you know, you want to be blacker than black and, you know, you try your best. But I was always into the rock side of it. Well, not so much the rock, but I liked what I love Bowie. And, you know, as much as I love Ika Mouse and Dennis Brown and all these great Jamaican and West Indian artists, I love Bowie and T-Rex and Thin Lizzy.
Yes.
So all this stuff in me as a kid growing up. Is incredible. But as a black guy, as a black kid growing up, people want to be, oh, you should be listening to R&B, or you should be listening to this.
Right.
I was always like, I'm going to listen to what the fuck I want to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, and when the specials came along, for me, I looked and I seen the specials, and they looked like a bunch of kids who lived on my house in the States.
Right.
They looked like they had fucking nothing. And they were wearing their father's suits and singing these songs that my dad had in his record collection, but they were singing these songs, more punk rock and more attitude. And I just like, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to take what I love, which is the reggae, and also take my punk rockness, punk rockness, and whatever else I can throw in there. Just like Malcolm X, bro. By any means necessary, I wanted to make the people rock. And that's what I did.
I got you. Because listen, you went into my next question, which is beautiful, because I was going to say, growing up, were you able to enjoy music freely, or were you looked down upon for being a black man listening to punk and metal music?
I think when I was young, Listen to me. One of the things that set me free, I was a little kid in my bedroom, and my brother used to have football games, soccer, outside on the green where we lived. Yeah. And all, and I'm talking like I must have been about 13, and I loved the Sex Pistols, and I had the Sex Pistols album.
Mm-hmm.
And all these cool dudes smoking weed, ganja guys, you know, reggae music, soul, R&B, they came to my house, and I was in my bedroom, and I was like, fuck them niggas, you know, I'm doing what I want to do. So I'm in the bedroom, and this is something that I think really hit me hard. And I'm playing the Pistols in the bedroom, the Sex Pistols. I had the album.
Right.
And my door knocked, and one of these dreads came in, and I thought he was going to start giving me shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, this is the Nevermind the Bollocks album.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And he was like, oh, I've been dying to listen to this.
Yeah.
So he came in, and I'm a little kid, and he's like, so, but when you're 11 and someone's 15, they're a man to you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he's got the dreadlocks, and he sat there, and he's listening to the punk album with me, listening to the Sex Pistols. And he said, can I borrow it? Can I borrow this till next week? Because they used to play it weekly.
Right, right, right.
And I took a step of faith, and I trusted him, and I said, yeah, borrow it. And he brought it back the next week. And it was just so good to see someone of color not listening to R&B and digging with dreadlocks, digging the Sex Pistols. Yes. And that guy to this day is in my life, and it continues to inspire and encourage me. You know, and I just wanted, as a kid growing up, I just wanted to make music that brought the world together.
Right.
You know, I knew, but by playing reggae music, I was going to attract a certain amount of people. And by playing rock music, I was going to sound. And my chemistry was, I want to make a song that them girl want to twerk and shake their booty to. And also, I want to make a song that them punk rockers and them metalheads want to get in the pit and kill each other
too.
I don't want to make two different songs. I want to make them doing the same dance.
Same song. That's same awesome, song. Man.
And that's it. And that was a whole attitude as a kid coming up, you know? Being like enough, being the guy, making music you want. And I never listened to people. Everybody knew I was weird as fuck anyway, so they never questioned it. You know, when I went around my bread, like all the soul stuff and just reggae music, they knew I love reggae music the same as them, but I had another string to my bow, you know? I had another string.
Hey, man, that's real, because music is universal. And I always tell people, I'm a military kid. My father's in the military. And, you know, we went a few places, but I listen to everything. I listen to everything. So I always tell people, I'm not a genre snob. There's no genre snob in here, especially on Live and Live with the Lord. It's about everything. No genre snob.
Listen, bro, the way I look at it, people will say this to me in the interviews all the time. What's the word they say? What is your something pleasure? Your guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I say to them, I make it clear, there's no such thing in my house, honey.
Right.
If you dig it, you dig it. Ain't nothing you can do.
Exactly. If it's hot, it's hot. That's all that matters. I don't care what it is.
Listen, the one thing about music, you can't tell me what is good and what is bad. I am the judge. I am the god of hellfire. And I bring you.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it is.
Yes, indeed. That, you know, as a creative man, we should be free to do that and enjoy what we
experiment,
like.
I know. Experiment, bro. Experiment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I said, I want the world to dance, not just six or seven of them.
Man, oh, man. I love that. Great answer, man. Great answer. So, being that things have opened up again, and Skindred will be, you know, super busy, because you guys are always busy, festivals and everything. So will you have time to create more dub war music in the future?
You know what, bro? I think sometimes you just got to make time when the time comes right. I enjoy jamming with them guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was only talking to them about last week, because obviously we finished the record and the record's out the 5th of August on Earache Records.
Right.
You know, the new album, Westgate Under Fire, is out then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking only the other day to Richie about being creative and making more music, you know? Even if we say, right, I'm going to make a little weird EP. Just one, four songs on there, and a couple of dub mixes.
Right.
You know, do something. And we will continue to do it. I mean, since we finished the record, we've written three or four songs. So it's just to get in the room now and nail them up and record them. You know, ain't no stopping me now. But I'm
yes, indeed. Yeah,
I love the new, if you like the dub war stuff, as much as I love it too, I listened to the new Skindred stuff recently.
Yeah,
and
that's...
Rip off your forehead, mate. I listened to a couple of them tunes recently, and I try not to listen to them because I get demoitis. You know, you listen to much. By the time the record's released, you don't want to listen to it ever again.
Right, I got you.
So I listened to a few tracks the other day coming home in the car, And I was like, my God, I can't wait to hear the world to hear this craziness.
That's awesome that you're feeling that vibe of what you do. Because I always tell people that no matter what I put out, I want everybody to love it. But I know that I put it out because I love it. I love what it is.
Foremost, you know, I mean, that's first and foremost. You got to dig what you do, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so before I get to my last question, I want to say this, man. I want to go back to Paris again, man. Well, first of all, let me say this. Touring with Stuck Mojo, being with Stuck Mojo and being with Toad, and you know, I bring him up and may he rest in peace. I just remember Toad talking about you all the time. He's just like, that's man, nice. I'm going out with Skindred and Benji. And I'm just like, man, you know, you being a man of color and doing what you're doing. So I was just like, I'm really paying attention. I said, man, tell me some more, man. Talk to me about Benji, man. And I used to tell Toad, you gotta get me with Benji somehow, way. The whole time.
That was my boy, man. That was my boy, Stuck Mojo. Go rest his soul, man.
Yeah. And he would just laugh, man. But Toad was a special guy, man. He took care of me. He made sure I was good, you know, and he looked out for me. But you know, he always spoke of you very well, man. You know,
Appreciate it.
So now, now going to Paris. Man, so Sonic Boom 6, Lord Nelson featured Lies, and Skindred. So let me tell you something, man. I appreciate you giving me love when you got on stage and everything. You had Sonic Boom 6, but I stood over there on the side and I watched that show. And I'm telling you once again, I was amazed. I looked at you and I said, he has control of this crowd. And the crowd was like, listen, even when we were there doing our thing, we were opening, but the crowd was love. But when you guys got on that stage and you went, let's say this, when you walked out, first of all, I'm checking out what you got on, right? I'm like, this guy is different. He is a different dude.
Yeah.
And I said,
magic, baby.
He's got that. Whatever it is, he's got it. And I just looked at you and I was like, and I do that. I said, I'm paying attention. And I did the same thing for Brent for Shinedown, because I know Eric Bass, you know, he's from the same state, from the same city I'm from. And I was just like, God, dog, man. I was like, Benji is out here doing work. And you just said like, hey, do you guys want a free t-shirt? And they were like, yeah. You was just like, fuck that. You said, you guys got to pay me.
And I don't know. Like, what Nelson, what I say is, hey, everybody, you doing okay? You guys look great tonight. Fantastic. You guys over there, you look great. I like that shirt, bro. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody want a t-shirt? Does anybody want a t-shirt? Because if you say free, everyone's going to say that.
Yeah.
Never say free. You just open it up and say, does anybody want a t-shirt? And 98% of people going to say, me. I say, yeah, motherfucker, go buy that shit.
And I laughed over there on the side, so I was just like,
listen, since then, bro, I got a few other tricks up my magical sleeve.
Hey, listen, all I know that it was beautiful. It was such a great time.
Yeah, man. It's all for fun, though. You know, I mean, people, you know, I mean, a lot of people get offended so easy these days.
Right.
But you know
what? Right.
Anything I do is for L-O-V-E, bro.
Yes, love.
And I ain't out there to beat nobody down. You know, life will do that on his own without me helping him. You know what I mean? But I just love. It's like I got some big shows coming up this weekend. I got Switzerland, Greenfield, like 60,000. I got Downloads on Friday. That's 80,000.
Yeah.
And brother, I swear, you know, I could walk out and do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do this and go, oh my God, there's so many people there. Fuck that.
Right,
I told
somebody
in the gym this morning. I was talking to a girl this morning. Uh-huh. She said, are you concerned? I said, they better be concerned because I'm going to fuck them up. About me, I feel like Tyson in the early days, bro.
Hey, you're
the passion I got for music, the passion I got for bringing people together is what.
Yes.
I don't care if you're about your trans, this, that, John, black, white. I don't care.
Right.
If you're
in
the room, you got feet, you got ears, you're getting this love.
Yes,
you're getting this love.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
And it ain't from a negative place, brother.
Hey,
really,
I'm gonna tell you once again, man. You wanted the best to do it, and nobody could ever front on you about that, man. Yes, salute you, respect maximum to you, bro. That's real. So the last thing, I just want to say this. I just want to applaud you for pulling this all together, this Dub War album. You know, you got some heavy hitters once again on here. And Westgate Under Fire is what it's called. And so my favorite, Coffin Lid and Reveal It. and get back up are my favorites, no doubt. You know,
Scrub. Yo, let me ask you a question. Yeah, coffee. Yeah, I had some fun doing that, bro.
Yes, sir.
I was gonna say we definitely for me, there's a song on there. We did a cover called Let's Stay Together.
I was gonna say it too. Yes, indeed. You did a great job on that. Great job, because it's one of my favorite songs. I love it.
One of my favorite. I went to see Al Green.
Yes,
and watching Al Green, when we started jamming that, me and Jeff was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I really want to do this, but I want to do it like sort of like, Eagles of Death Metal, Queens of the Stone
mm-hmm.
Age,
mm-hmm.
that sort of slightly hip hop thing,
right,
with the Al Green flavor to it. And I think we won. I think we won.
You did.
I mean, I've been talking about getting that song out and doing mm-hmm. a video to it. You know, we just done a video. It's coming out on Wednesday, just so you know.
Okay.
The Vibes in the Place.
Gotcha,
Wednesday,
gotcha,
the video
gotcha.
Drops for Vibes in the Place. You can check that one.
Yeah. Hey, man. Love, man. Once again, everything is so amazing. Thank you so much,
Keep
man. Listen,
up,
listen, I'm honored. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing is, on the dub board, there's only one thing that I think should have been on there.
This guy. Ah, ha! You never know. Listen, you never know, baby.
This maybe guy right here.
Do you know what I'm going to do? Maybe I should send you an instrumental of Black Man. And you should write your own verse on that.
Hey, shit. Man, listen. it's all love, man. But once
Amen.
Again,
Amen, bro,
thank
man.
You yeah, so man. Much.
Thank you.
I'm honored. I am truly a gigantic fan of yours. And you are that guy. No doubt. No bullshit. You are that dude, man.
I appreciate
and,
that.
And continue success in all you do, bro.
Thanks, my brother. And like listen. I said, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right path.
Yes, sir.
You know, don't watch nobody. Keep blinking. Run your own race.
Yes,
and that's how you win in this place.
Amen.
You understand?
My All
right,
brother.
I catch you soon, man.
All right.
Peace to you and your listeners.
Amen. Bless Thank us. You so much, man.
Yeah,
man. All right.
More than love.
All right, man.
More than love.
So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is live and loud with the Lord Nelson, that is, and our very special guest, Mr. Benji Webb. Thank you so much, bro. I appreciate you. Be good. Peace.
Make the same mistakes again. If you want it, you got to rise and take it. Got to work, got to learn and get to take this. Start for something, or you'll fall for anything. If you want it, you got to fight for it. Why you got to never contain it? Start for something, or you'll fall for anything. To take the sheep, the vulnerable, the easy led, the weak, who will protect them against the wall. Now they execute, the blind can lead the blind, they always need someone to lead them. In the street.